Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night, so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Have you ever felt like the odd man out? Perhaps it was due to entering a program a little late, having to be brought up to speed, playing catch-up, like a late addition to the team roster. Well, such was Paul's experience. We're going to discuss today at length the concept of how Paul becomes an apostle. What were the things that were already against him due to the timing of his being approached by Christ, but in the end prove that he has the authority that he says that he does. I have out on the marquee, "He left Jerusalem a persecutor. He returned an apostle." What does it mean to be an apostle? Well, we understand from the 12 that walked with Christ that the simplest definition of apostle is one whom is sent, a messenger, a delegate, sent forth with orders. The 12 that Jesus chose are clearly his apostles. They walked with him for 3+ years. He taught them. They came around to understand that he was more than just a rabbi, all of them except Judas, that he was more than just a prophet, that he was, in fact, the Son of God. And Jesus had made promises to them that after he departed, they would be guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit would even remind them of the things that Jesus had taught them that they had forgotten. Those things are found in John 14:26 and John 16:13. And that happened on the day of Pentecost, the beginning of it, didn't it? With the cloven tongues of fire, which was also prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come to them. The cloven tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. He said, you will also be accompanied with signs, able to do miracles of casting out demons and healing the sick. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, they had had an experience like that. Well, it was going to continue. But what we understand apostles to be, for the most part, are eyewitnesses to Christ's ministry and to his resurrection, having seen him after he was raised from the dead. How does Paul, currently Saul of Tarsus, qualify then to be an apostle? He didn't follow Christ throughout his ministry. He was not numbered among the original 12. He was not present on the day of Pentecost to at least receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have no record of Saul of Tarsus witnessing Jesus after his resurrection. In the early church, Paul's apostleship was challenged at least in two areas, in Corinth as well as in the churches of Galatia. And the reason we know that is because Paul had to defend his apostleship to them. We're going to look here in just a little bit at his defense to the Galatian brethren. But it is an honest question to ask. On what does Paul claim to be an apostle? What is the authority upon which he makes this claim? Paul does accept his lot in life with Christ as a latecomer to the Christian battlefield. We have been reading about him in Acts chapter 9 and how he was at first persecuting the church, and then the blinding light caused him to awaken to the will of God here in Acts chapter 9. And he is told then by Ananias the gospel. And as we read in the beginning of our reading this morning, once he received his sight, he was baptized. Ananias had said simply in another account of this, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." What it must have been like for Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, to make that transition from persecutor at this point to a Christian. Turn with me to hymn number 618. Turn My Heart, 618.
Of me, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. My heart, O God, may I be like you.
In light of Saul's former occupation, vocation of persecuting Christians, this change is a dramatic one. He is changing to following Christ, rather than calling him a blasphemer. So how does Paul defend, when he wasn't one that walked with Christ originally, how does Paul defend his apostleship? To his son in the faith, Timothy, he writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged me faithful by appointing me to his service. Then verse 15, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners. Here in his letter to his son in the faith, he acknowledges his own past, but he says what? Christ appointed me to his service. There's one of the aspects of being an apostle, is for Jesus Christ himself to appoint you, though he was the chief of sinners. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, he talks about that which he has received. Now remember what Christ did during those 3 years that he walked with the disciples, soon to become apostles. He was teaching them all along the way, and they had some confusion, didn't they, about what he was saying, and they would question him afterwards. And even at the cross, they denied him and forsook him, not fully understanding that he was the Son of God and that he would be resurrected from the dead. But he had said to them, you will receive from the Holy Spirit the truth. Well, listen to what Paul says about what he teaches. This is in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we know that Jesus spoke to him on the road, called him out by name, asked him why he was persecuting him, and then sent him to Damascus, to Judas's house on Straight Street. And there he was told by Ananias the gospel and was baptized. But Paul is implying much more than just this. Look again. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. What Paul is proclaiming is that he received what he teaches, and certainly that would include all the letters that he has written. He has received it directly from Jesus. It is the same claim that qualifies the earthly walking with Christ apostles to have. I didn't receive it from men. Now, this is one of those instances where Paul is defending his apostleship to the churches of Galatia, which also happened to be the churches that were on his first missionary journey that he and Barnabas took. And what we want to explore for just a minute is not a brief contact with Jesus only, and it certainly was Jesus that spoke to him in the blinding light, but perhaps something that has been overlooked by many as to what Paul actually experienced in his revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's go back to our reading to Acts chapter 9. Start with verse 23. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Now, in Luke's account, there doesn't seem to be any gap in time, except for what maybe it took to travel from Damascus to Jerusalem. There doesn't seem to be any delay between verses 24 and 26. But that's not what Paul says. Would you believe that Paul will detail for us, we're going back now to Galatians chapter 1, that there is in fact a 3-year gap. 3 years. Does that ring any bells? That's how long the disciples had when they walked with Jesus on earth. 3 years to be taught by him. So let's pick back up. We'll read just a verse earlier. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter 1 and start with verse 11. But with special emphasis upon verses 17 and 18, whenever we get to them. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Did you catch it? There's a gap between verses 25 and 26 of Acts chapter 9 from Luke's account of when Paul left Damascus and went up to Jerusalem and met with the apostles. And as Paul defends his faith to the Galatians, he says, I have received what I have got not from men, meaning not from the apostles. It's not secondhand knowledge. No, I received it directly from Christ. The implication is that there was a 3-year period where Paul was taught by the great rabbi in the desert of Arabia. Now, I won't force you to accept this premise necessarily, but I think that's what Paul's argument is all about. Look again, verse 16, Galatians 1. To reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Now, there's two things at least that are happening here. First, Paul is saying, the apostles did not give me what I preach because I already had it. I have been taught directly by Jesus Christ. I did not receive it from men. And the window of opportunity is that 3 years after his conversion, which is probably around 35 AD, until the time that he goes to Jerusalem in 38 AD, and meets with the apostles. And even then, as we've seen in Luke's account, it was not as if the apostles were ready to embrace him. It was on Barnabas's, the son of encouragement, it was upon Barnabas's urging that the apostles brought Paul into the fellowship. But even then, he's only there for a little bit of time. He stayed with them 15 days, he says in verse 18. But I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And once again, the point being, he's not going to school in Jerusalem and receiving his degree in the gospel from the apostles. No. Go back to verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we know that Jesus spoke with Paul directly on the road to Damascus. It doesn't take any stretch of the imagination for Paul to be saying here, when he was 3 years in the desert, that's when he was taught by Christ. And it would fit, wouldn't it? But think of the difference between those first apostles and their somewhat confused view of who Christ was, though they honored him greatly, all except for Judas. It took a while, even after his death and resurrection, for them to understand that he was the Son of God. That's where Saul of Tarsus, soon to become Paul the Apostle, that's where he begins his walk with Jesus. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Which means I am Jesus, the one who went to the grave and is resurrected. I am the Son of God. And I've said this before in other sermons. What Paul received then Because of his clear knowledge, at the very beginning of his walk and his revelations from Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God, he received a doctorate degree in Christianity. He was at a level at being able to understand the prophets like no other before him. I think that's why he was chosen. We talked at the very first about being someone who comes on the scene late to be added to the roster after the team has already been gathered together, like a trade that was perhaps unexpected. Well, Paul says this of himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8. He says, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." That's the title of my lesson this morning, Untimely Born. Not in the regular schedule. You might ask, well, then why did God do that? Why did Jesus select Saul of Tarsus? Well, we know that the effect was to stop one of the great persecutors of the church in his tracks. And in fact, at the ending of what we read today, it says that the church had peace. I think that's in large part because Saul is no longer an instigator, a provocateur, no longer a persecutor of the church. And so that fanaticism has somewhat died down. So that would be a good reason to select Saul, but I believe it's more than that. Saul personifies the rebellion against Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ within the Jewish people. We talked about him being the point of the spear. In turning him, God has created a debater of debaters. Yes, he's been sent to the Gentiles, but he's also being sent to kings as well as to God's people. And when Paul is confronted by the Jews, he understands not simply the ins and outs of their own personalities and their parties, whether they be Sadducees or Pharisees or Essenes or Herodians. No, he knows the Scripture up one side and down the other. And he knows the fulfillment of those scriptures like no one else can even imagine. There is no lawyer in the Jewish nation who can argue the truth better than the Apostle Paul. And we see it in his writings. And even Peter says, wow, there are things in Paul's writings that are difficult to understand. Listen to this in the complete quote. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Speaking of this as he does in all his letters, Peter is talking about Paul. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. What has Peter just done? Confirmed what we are seeing, that Paul is an apostle. His writings are inspired. Paul says, I was appointed by God. He spoke to me directly. He was an eyewitness of the fact that there had been a resurrection because Jesus spoke to him just initially in that blinding light. He was able to have the authority to heal and to cast out demons. We're going to see in Acts chapter 19. And even there, the demons acknowledge Paul's authority. When someone else is trying to cast out demons in the name of Christ and they're not Christians, the demons say, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but we don't know you. And then they're leapt upon. He raised the dead in Acts chapter 20. He's unharmed when bitten by a snake in Acts chapter 28. Paul does not shy away from declaring that he is an apostle. Why is that? Because if you can discount Paul as an apostle, then you can discount all the writings of Paul. You say, well, that would be absurd. There's so much of what Paul has to say within the New Testament. 13, if not 14, of the letters of the New Testament, of the 21 letters, Paul wrote. But that is exactly the point for those who would discredit those letters by saying Paul was not an apostle. Therefore, it's no accident that 9 times at the beginning of 9 different letters, Paul says he is an apostle. Paul, an apostle. That's in the book of Romans. Now, this is in verse 1 of chapter 1 of each of these. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Paul begins the letter with saying, an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. That's not bragging. That's credentials. He had seen Christ. He had witnessed the resurrection. He had been spoken to directly, and from what we can see, possibly for 3 years in the desert. He received not a crash course, but a doctorate in all of the ways that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament and the promises given to even the patriarchs of the Old Testament. There was no arguing with the Apostle Paul and coming out on the other side a winner. No. Even the apostles extended him the right hand of fellowship, he reveals in Galatians 2 and verse 9. Peter accepted that what Paul wrote was inspired and even accepted correction from the Apostle Paul. If you want to read Galatians chapter 2, Peter had played a game of being prejudiced, of being afraid to associate with Gentiles, Christians, because the Jews had come down from Jerusalem and they were watching him. And he withdrew and Paul corrected him. Can there be any doubt then that Paul was an apostle? None in the least. Therefore, we can have confidence in the things that he preached, that Luke records for us here, and also the things that he wrote that are lodged for us in the New Testament. It's really no debate. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8. Johnny come lately? He left Jerusalem a persecutor. He returned an apostle.